97.5 The Fanatic.
PM on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Monty and Joe Stazak. We're taking you until midnight. Post-game show following this Eagles loss to the Vikings. It was ugly today. It didn't look good. The defense got decimated. They were destroyed, absolutely destroyed by Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. The only thing they did a good job against was Dalvin Cook. Right? Yeah. As always, they stopped the other team's top running back, although Madison had some. He led the team
in rushing.
63 yards. Yeah, he had a big one, though. He had one for 35.
Yep.
First team to go over 100 yards, but the offense couldn't keep up. They couldn't play back and forth football. They were inconsistent on offense. Four more drop passes, and it just for drop passes, some really questionable play calling. And this team right now at 3-3 is lucky that the Dallas Cowboys are the Dallas Cowboys, and they are not a good football team, and that's why the Eagles are still in it.
Got a break today.
Big time.
Got a break today.
Our guy, Scott in Barrington, you're on ISM5, The Fanatic. What's up, Scott?
Brother Rob, what's going on?
How are you, bud?
Good. Put the chair. What's up, dude?
Hey, Scott. How you doing, babe?
I'm just trying to, when I was on hold, I'm trying to process this. Yeah, and not the citrus process. I guess a couple quick questions, if I may. All jokes aside, I'll give you my culprit, but give me two of the real reasons why we lost today's game, and I'll try and give you one of mine. So I'll listen to y'all.
Secondary, Scott, couldn't cover you and me.
Those are my two reasons, the secondary and the secondary.
It was unbelievable. The same guy. Is anybody out there who we can bring in? I know the Ramsey thing because the owner is not letting him go, but realistically, fellas, is there anybody out there that can?
Yeah. There is, Scott. His name is Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Cravion LeBlanc, and Avante Maddox.
You are killing me, man.
The four guys that they have that are injured, those are the four guys that they're going to count on. I honestly don't know that Howie's going to go out and make a move. I really don't, especially when you have an old team and you value some draft picks and you need to be able to use those draft picks to make this team younger. Maybe he looks at it. We just talked about this a few minutes ago. Maybe he looks at it and goes, well, we're not one player away, just like Andy McPhail did. If we don't, we don't. How you feel about that, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. I guess you're right. Keep it in-house, man, because Douglas is just it was like watching a video game, man. I was so mad I couldn't get mad. I was at work today, and you got to come by and see me, brother Rob. You know where I work at. But
Now I do, man. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But
no doubt.
My last question to you fellas is love you guys, and I'm just still shaking my head. My lady was looking at me. She was like, uh-oh, his nostrils are flaring. But last question to you is what's the one, if you can say, plus thing we have going into this Dallas Cowboys game? Fellas, it's the answer once again. Peace. God bless to you.
All right, Scott. Thank you,
brother.
The one plus thing. Mm-hmm. Miles Sanders' ability to catch the ball coming out of the backfield.
That's crazy. Think about that.
Right? He is a matchup.
You didn't do a lot of that at Penn State.
No, you get him matched up against a linebacker. It's a win every time. The touchdown pass was just an absolute dime right over the line. Over, I guess it was Kendricks, right into in stride, hit Sanders. Then there was also his ability to pass protect too. Is big time. Did you see video of the one where he stepped up and he laid out whoever it was? I don't know if it was a safety or whoever on a blitz. He just stepped up and laid the guy out. Didn't just block. He laid him out. That's to me, at least that's one kind of plus that you can have from this game going in, especially and actually over the last four games.
But think about it. He asked for two. Can you come up with a second one? Elliott made all his field goals.
That's about it. Yeah, he kicks a whole lot better than he throws. That's for sure.
He does.
Chris in Jersey, you're on The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? You guys are doing such a good job dissecting and diagnosing the problem right now.
Thank you. Thanks, perfectly.
I mean, the secondary is just obvious. But here's my thing, guys. All right, so we're going to Jerry World next week, right? going to Jerry World. I think the whole season is next week. And I'm trying not to be alarmist here. I'm trying not to say the sky is falling. But here's the deal. If we can beat Dallas in Jerry World, they lose four in a row. They lose to their NFC rivals, right? We lost to the boys twice last year. I still haven't gotten over that yet. If we can go down there, and somehow, I get it, the secondary is atrocious. But here's my question. I think it's now. I think Doug Peterson has to just wake up and say it's now. Dougie P has to go back to 2017 and just say there is no tomorrow. It's now, because you're exactly right. For whatever reason, this team is just lethargic. They're never ready, and that's not going to fly in Jerry World. I really do think it's do or die. And if we're able to beat Dallas in Dallas and then send them 0-4 and we're 4-3, I'm hoping that helps us in this next stretch, because we got some tough games after that too.
Well, Chris,
thank you guys.
Chris,
thank you.
Don't go away. You there?
All right. Yeah, yeah.
How do you propose they beat the Cowboys next week?
Well, without being a defensive coordinator myself, and with our secondary pretty much being an infirmary right now, I don't really have too many answers. So our running defense is fantastic. That's one of the pluses. So to answer the previous caller, I think our run defense is fantastic. I mean, you got to respect Zeke Elliott, but I think you got to do some more prevent defense, because it was just bad today. I mean, Stephon Diggs had his career day today, right? So I don't know. I don't have too many answers for you.
You're right about that second positive. We forgot about that. The run defense is pretty stellar.
You're right. Yeah, that is a good second positive. Chris, I appreciate the call. He's right. Doug Peterson's got to say, hey, this is a season. I wouldn't say if they lose the game that the season's done.
No, not at all.
Because you're one game behind. You still play the Cowboys. You lose on their field. You beat them here. Some other things happen. But this is an opportunity to seize the division, because you went on the road to take a one-game lead, knowing they're still going to come here later on. That's huge. If he has any ideas or thoughts of doing things differently. Sometimes you want to stay the course when things are going well. When things aren't going well, that's when you have to look and say, hey, how can I change things up? What can I do? Is it running a Thursday practice on a Wednesday? Earlier in the year, we saw him going into week three, I think it was, before the Packers game, he gave him a day off. Day off on a Wednesday, which was different. It didn't help him that week. They lost to the Lions, but then they were able to beat the Packers. He's got to step it up and say, this is our opportunity to go in there, no matter how inconsistent we've looked. It's sitting there. The NFC East is sitting there for this Eagles team. The climate of this division is such that nobody's going to run away with it. It's a two-team race, and you got a team that's reeling off three straight losses and a loss to the Jets. Maybe Darby comes back. Maybe Mills comes back, and now we're talking about, we talked about Ronald Darby earlier in the season. I thought he wasn't ready from the ACL injury.
Sure.
If there's a silver lining from his hamstring injury now, it's more time for the knee to get to be ready to go. If you get those two guys out there, it's better than what you have right now.
And Deshaun might be back.
Hey, getting Deshaun,
that'd be huge.
Just the threat of Deshaun. I'd rather have Deshaun Jackson at half speed, where the defense has to account for him, than Mac Hollins at this point.
You know what I thought today? I'm watching Alshon Jeffrey. He just looks slow.
Yeah, he does.
He made some nice catches. He just looks slow, and this team lacks some team speed. They really do. Nelson Aguilar's your fastest guy.
You're right. Alshon's got great hands.
Great hands.
It runs terrific routes. He's physical and can get the ball from anybody, and I throw the ball up to him in a jump ball situation every time. But he does look slower.
He looks slower today, especially.
Yeah, he does look slower. Dan's in Nebraska. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dan?
As always, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to make this quick.
Sure.
38-7 forever. Eagles!
Dan, you got that for all the Minnesota Viking fans. Minnesota Viking fans are enjoying trolling the Eagles after last year's win here. Then they don't even make the playoffs. Then after this one, it's still not going to top the Eagles beating the Vikings 38-7 to go to the Super Bowl and then win the Super Bowl in Minnesota. It's not. It's not going to top. No matter how many wins you get in a regular season, it's not.
They have nothing to yap about. First of all, the 38-7 game, I don't care that they beat the Eagles here last year because the Vikings spit one up to the Bears in the last game of the season to put the Eagles in the playoffs.
Yeah. Which,
so thank you, Minnesota.
That was the ultimate choke job right there.
Oh, my God.
The Bears didn't even need the game, and they go in to Minnesota and win that football game. And right now we have 24-17, and the Chargers.
What was that?
Were down. They were down 24-3 at one point, pulled to within 24-17, and now they got to go like 99 yards to tie the game.
Nice punt.
There's a lot of strange things happening in the NFL this year. A lot. You got some bad football teams. Redskins at 1-5.
Dolphins.
Falcons are now 1-5.
Jets. Can you believe the Falcons are 1-5?
Bengals are terrible too.
Oh, they're awful.
Steelers with an opportunity here to avoid a 1-5 start, go to 1-4. The Jets. We said this last week. We thought once they get Darnold back, the tight end, the defense is solid.
Yeah, pretty solid.
The defense is solid. Sam Darnold might be better than I thought he is. He played a pretty good football game today.
I'm still not a huge fan, but he did play well today.
He played
made a big difference.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt over Luke Falk. But you look around the NFL right now, and there's a huge separation between some of the top teams. The AFC, you definitely got to put Houston and Deshaun Watson after they go to Arrowhead and beat Kansas City. You got to put them in there as a top three team. Patriots, of course, are number one. You put them number two ahead of the Ravens. I agree with you.
I think I put them ahead of the Ravens.
And since they beat the Chiefs, I put them at two, and I put the Chiefs at three. I still put the Chiefs ahead of the Ravens.
I do.
Yeah, so I go Chiefs and then Ravens there.
What's up with the Chiefs?
Two straight losses at home.
Two straight losses at home.
How about that? Oh, you know what that does? All it does is help New England.
Yes, it does.
Now the road,
that game 14 might not matter.
The road to the Super Bowl is going to go through Foxborough. I can't see New England losing. They would have to lose two or three games if Kansas City wins out for them to, or Houston, of course, or someone else, Houston or Baltimore. It's going to have to go through Foxborough again. And then in the NFC, could be anybody's. You got Green Bay, New Orleans, San Fran, and Seattle. That NFC West, look at the Rams.
I love that San Fran team.
The Rams are now 3-3, and they're going to be in danger of not even being a postseason team with Seattle two games ahead of them and San Fran two and a half games ahead of them. You really like that 49er football team.
I do. I know they haven't played, they haven't played the top teams in the league, but they're blowing out folks. Hey, blowing out folks.
They beat LA in LA. That's a good win. They
embarrassed the Browns.
And they're coming off a short week.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
You come off a short week on the road and you beat a division opponent. That's a statement win.
Rams. It's the Rams, too.
Hey, all Jimmy G does is win. What's he now? 12-2 as a quarterback? Starter?
Yeah, that's about right.
Something like that? Hey.
They gave him the right. He paid the right man, at least.
All he does is find a way to get a W. I don't know if Atlanta's going to fire Dan Quinn at this point.
It's coming.
The Bengals being 0-6, maybe they unload AJ Green. I don't really care what they said last week. The coach Zach Taylor saying, "Oh yeah, he's last Thursday insisting that they're not trading AJ," and AJ said, "Yeah, I'd like to stay here." And if you're 0-6 and you got a guy who's 31 years old on the final year of a deal, you're looking to move him and get a draft.
Of course you are.
No matter what it is. What do you think of Zach Brown given Kirk Cousins? And Kirk Cousins denied this after the game. He said, "I just found out about it. So if you want to write a story that his comments motivated me, I don't pay attention to it. And I just found out about it." Regardless, it motivated other people because they heard about it. You can't say stuff like that. I just don't think you there's no
there's
reason
no positive
to say
effect.
Yeah, to call. Why would you, as a defensive player, basically give your game plan away? Yeah, he's the weak link. We got to make him beat us. Why would you do that?
It's stupid.
And they were teammates. They were teammates the 1 year, and I think it was a 7-9 year. Kirk Cousins threw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins is basically, even if he legitimately had not heard that comment, I would think somebody would have said something to him.
I would think so, yeah.
But if nobody said anything to him, hey, it was a prove it game for him.
He did.
Right there, stepped up in your face. Four touchdowns, 333 yards, and completed 75% of his passes.
Wow. Yeah, I believe in karma. I think it's bad karma. You know, talking smack about the other quarterback. He's coming off a great game, too, against the Giants. You know, I know with the Bears game, and it was, you know, a lot of dismay in that locker room and whatnot. He's bounced back nicely. I always liked him. I did. Now, he does struggle in big games, which I don't like, and that's a problem because he's very bad in big games. And Minnesota brought him there to replace Case Keenum, who was 13-3. But yeah, that's unbelievable, right?
Right.
You go 13. Case Keenum's got to be like, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? They get rid of him. They bring in Kirk Cousins, and he's been up and down. But today was sensational.
Case got the W today, though, for the Washington Redskins.
Yes, he did.
And they avoid an 0-6 start. They're 1-5. Man, I look at what the Eagles have coming up, and you look at the troubles that they had today against Minnesota, and the only thing you can fall back on is saying, well, they've been resilient. They've shown resilience, because if you really look at it and say, what can this defense, if they don't get any help, if it's the same group of guys going in next week, what can Jim Schwartz do? It is the same group of guys that beat Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers, except they had Avante Maddox in that game all the way up until
the last minute.
Right, the last minute. So that was one more player. Now you have Craig James out there instead of Avante Maddox. I didn't see a lot of Orlando Scandrick today.
I did not hear his name.
I would have thought coming off the game he had last week, albeit they were two corner blitzes where he made his most noise, I still thought I would have saw more of him. We'll get the snap. I don't think it's out right now, right? Let me take a look and see if the snap count is out right now. Usually it's the next day.
Where are you looking to find that?
I look at NFL Jesus, GSIS.
Okay.
Yeah, I look on the game stats there and see if I can get the snap count. But I would have thought we would have seen more of Orlando Scandrick. We didn't. This is basically the same unit that beat Green Bay minus Avante Maddox for four quarters. He got hurt that next to the last play. Can they go to Dallas and shut down Zeke and beat Dak? Dak Prescott, to me, looks very beatable.
He is very beatable. I like Dak, but he's very beatable right now.
Yeah, I'm not of the Carson Wentz is so much above and beyond better than. I think they're both right there. They're both good quarterbacks. Dak Prescott today, no interceptions, 70% completion, 277 yards, 6.9 per attempt. I don't go. One is that much better. Carson's that much better than Dak Prescott. But I think that Dak is beatable right now. Zeke had 105 yards today on 28 carries, and they still weren't. Jason Witten still catching or getting the ball thrown to him in big spots. As T.O. was saying today, he could have called some of those. He knew that Jason Witten's getting the ball in the big spots, and you got a guy who's coming out of retirement getting the ball in the big spots. Maybe you got to think of your play calling and your play designing Jason Garrett, which, by the way, Fire Jason Garrett is trending on Twitter tonight. So there's a lot of upset Cowboy fans out there.
Well, remember, he saved his job last year. They were struggling mightily and went into Philly and beat the Eagles and turned that season around.
Yeah.
Then they go on a run, and people forget about Garrett and some of his, you know, misgivings. And now he loses three in a row to teams who have not won a game after starting the season 3-0. I know people said, well, they didn't play anyone, blah, blah, blah. But 3-0 is 3-0. And they came down to earth. Maybe they're not that good.
You can only beat the teams on your schedule.
That's right.
So I'm never going to diminish a win.
No.
Look at the Eagles last week. You destroy a team like the Jets. The Jets come back, albeit with a different quarterback, and they beat the Cowboys. So, hey, that just makes the 25-point win over the Jets is a 25-point win over the Jets. I'll take every W, but You're right. This is who I think both teams are. They're both inconsistent teams with a lot of flaws.
They're 3-3 teams.
Neither one of them is a 12-win football team. Neither one of them is probably an 11-win football team.
I agree.
And it might be a struggle for either one to get to 10. To get to 10 right now, you got to go, 7-3 the rest of the way?
Yeah, see, I'm thinking 9-7. Gets it done this year.
I still think there's an opportunity for the Eagles to go 7-3. They'd have to win two of these.
Well, the next five games defines their season.
No doubt. Yeah.
They're all against top six defenses, except for Seattle.
And Seattle always gives them fits.
Always gives them fits.
Man, Russell Wilson, it's crazy to think this, but I think Russell Wilson's one of the most underrated players. Right, in the NFL?
In the NFL.
Absolutely. I mean, this guy, the numbers he puts up today, another terrific game on the road, two touchdowns, a touchdown rushing. The Eagles schedule, Cowboys, Bills on the road, then Bears here, Patriots here, Seattle here. None of those are cupcake wins.
No.
They have 5 more difficult games before they finally have a break against Miami, the Giants, the Redskins, the Cowboys. And so they should easily win 4 of their last 5 games, although I think the Giants will give them trouble in one of them. You should beat Dallas here, but by that point of the season, I don't know. Man, you're right. These next 5 games are going to define who this football team is. 610-632-0975. We got wide open lines taking you till midnight. This is the post game show. The only place where you could talk about the Eagles' loss to the Minnesota Vikings today is here on 97.5 The Fanatic with Joe Stazak, and I'm Rob Motti.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You like that?
Good call, Dylan. People aren't going to like that. Kirk Cousins, you like that after what he did to the Eagles today. Rob Motti, Joe Stazak, 97.5, The Fanatic, taking you till midnight, 610-632-0975. We got 2 more pair of Zombieland tickets to give away, Joe. We're 3 for 3 giving them out. Everybody wanted them. Let's see what Stallworth on the cell's got to say. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Stallworth?
Yo, what's up, fellas? What's going on?
Man,
I'm angry, all right? And please just let me get this all out.
Go ahead, vent.
I'm going to talk about the defense specifically. If you know for a fact that you have cornerbacks that are struggling to stick to the receivers and really, you know, really be, just right on them, why would you be in single high safety and allow them to be on an island? Like what happened, I think that was a second touchdown by Diggs.
The second touchdown. Yeah, the second end. Yeah. Both deep passes, both. There was no help.
One of those touchdowns, Diggs was wide open, and the other receiver was wide open at the top.
Both was
wide open. Yeah. Right? So to me, you got to play either like a Tampa 2, some type of zone, because you have to help these cornerbacks out because they don't have the talent to be able to just say, go ahead and lock those receivers down. You know they don't have that. Everybody can see that. So why Schwartz wouldn't change and go, you know what? I got to help these guys out. And speaking of that, we talked about Sidney Jones. Y'all talked about Sidney Jones. It looked like he might be a bust, right? Okay. Show me that you can actually make him look better than what he is. Remember how we used to hate Patrick Chung because he used to get burnt all the time?
Yep.
Somehow he goes up to the Patriots, and he looks like he can actually play. Why? Because Belichick understands how to use him. Maybe Sidney Jones needs to be the type of cornerback where he's in zone most of the time, where he doesn't have to necessarily stick to a receiver. All I want you to do is keep your eye on towards the quarterback and make a play on the ball. Because obviously this kid can't cover anybody in terms of just sticking with him because he goes with double moves all the time. He's not that physical. So you have to use him almost like an Asante Samuel. Asante Samuel wasn't physical at all, but he could break on the ball and intercept the ball all the time. Maybe Sidney Jones could do that. Try to do something where you actually develop a guy and make him look better than what he is. Schwartz can't do anything unless you're getting pressure by the front four. That's the only way his defense ever works. But you got to show me something else.
Both of those deep balls, Rasul thought he had help. So I don't know where the breakdown came from, because it looked, especially the one, I guess it was Malcolm, where he just looked at him and shrugged like he thought he had help, but he didn't.
There was a receiver cutting across the field. Malcolm went after
Malcolm
him.
Went short.
Yep. And Malcolm went short.
Yeah, I don't know why you care about taking it. Why you want to take away the short and just allow the deep ball to go. The deep ball six, the short one's at first down. That's it.
Yes, absolutely. You can't have breakdowns like that at all. Not when you know you got guys back there who really can't hold up one-on-one. And here's the other thing. I know y'all got to let me go. The offense. Goodness gracious. The offense. There's a couple of things. One, can we maybe run, and I know we have sometimes two tight ends out there, but can we actually see them run down the field, like maybe seam routes for both of them? Maybe we can kind of use them the way the Patriots used to use Gronkowski and
Aaron Hernandez.
What was the other? Yes, yeah, and Aaron Hernandez.
Yep.
But the way, and then use the running backs coming out of the can we, I mean, you use the young boy today a little bit. Do it more.
No, you're right. The play calling, especially on offense, and I appreciate the call, man. Thank you, Stallworth.
They used to do a lot of that last year, a lot of seam routes.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them.
Are they concerned about pressure? Because for the most part, there was a couple times where the pocket collapsed on him, and there were a couple times where he was escaping, he was coming out, he was moving around. You're right. We're not seeing much of those seam routes at all. Most of the passes that Dallas Goedert was getting, or Zach Ertz, were really short. There was the one on, I guess it was fourth and back, late in the fourth quarter at the point where the game was almost already out of reach. I think it was a fourth and 15 or something like that that Zach Ertz made the play on for first down. But other than that, I want to see more creativity out of this offense, and we're not seeing it. Especially if you're missing DeSean Jackson, now you need to get creative.
Zach Ertz used to be deadly last year.
Yeah.
Where has that been? His favorite guy.
He
116 catches.
He had one pass go through his hands. He fumbled the one. Then he had the third down play that they should have been a call. He didn't get the call. I would have thrown a challenge flag, but the way that the challenges on the pass interferences are not getting overturned, you don't know. There was a lot to be desired in the officiating in this game, but the officiating is not the reason they lost that football game.
Nope.
The secondary really is. Lou's in Sacramento. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Great show.
Thanks, Lou.
Disappointed about the loss. I thought they were going to bank them by two touchdowns, honestly. When I went back, I know I was wrong. When I went back to the, how I thought the season would play out, I had them 12-4, 5-3 after the halfway point. If they win the next two games, they're still there, but just the way they're playing, I'm lacking confidence in that prediction. However, just the offense is just so much different with DeSean Jackson on the field. And even if you look at last season, they were missing Mike Wallace, who was supposed to be the guy taking over for Torrey Smith. And if I'm Howie, I'd love to hear your guys' perspective on this. If I'm looking at the trade deadline, I'm looking for maybe an insurance policy to DeSean Jackson, because I don't know what that injury's like, if it's going to come back, if he's going to be 100%, is he going to re-aggravate it. But they need some sort of speed, like you said, deep threat on offense, because it's just becoming stale. And I don't know who they can get, but what do you guys think?
Yeah. Stale's a good word.
We both agree wide receiver would be, because you at least have bodies that are coming back at cornerback, Lou. You at least have guys who you have your top four corners or four of the top five, if you want to put Cravion LeBlanc as four of the top five in there, although I think he might have started the season as the nickel. You have those guys coming back. DeSean coming back, to me, is no certainty. When he comes back, I don't know that I can count on him. I would look to add a wide receiver. I don't know who they can get who would be available. If Robbie Anderson's available from the Jets, I'd take a shot there. If A.J. Green should be available, if you can get him, I would take a shot there. But that's absolutely where I would go.
Yeah, I hear you. I know a lot of people, I think Jim Schwartz said last year, Cravion LeBlanc played really well down the stretch. So did Avonte Maddox. So, I mean, that's your only hope. In the meantime, it's tough because without the front four getting there like they did last year and the year before, or definitely 2017, I just think, they missed out on Clowney. They should have got him. But I would blitz a little bit more, but then you're putting your guys out on an island. So I think Jim Schwartz just has a tall task ahead of him when you're pulling guys off the street and expecting them to go against, you know, two of the best receivers in the game. And they made great catches. And that was a lot of the thing that we didn't do. We just didn't make those really good catches like Stephon Diggs in the end zone with the feet inbound.
Yeah.
So where are those?
They don't make plays. These receivers don't make plays. They really don't. And Lewin, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you. Matt Collins has an opportunity to make a play. He doesn't make it. They're not making plays. Then he disappears the entire game. I don't know the last time that I saw a wide receiver make a play where I said, oh my goodness, that's a fantastic catch.
Fantastic catch. I don't remember one. I don't remember one.
They make the routine. They drop
a lot of balls.
Drop a lot, but a play where, ooh, he overthrew him, but what a play. Or, ooh, that was an underthrow, but incredible catch. I can't remember the last time a receiver, I don't know, if it's hard to find. I'm looking now at the 2017 draft because we know about Sidney Jones being selected in the second round. Rasul Douglas was the third round, 99th overall pick. Sidney Jones was 43rd. So you had Sidney Jones at 43 and Rasul at 99. And these are two of the two guys today who are getting absolutely torched. And one of the problems with this team, obviously, is not having speed at wide receiver. Look at this. Juju Smith-Schuster was a second-round pick, 62nd overall. Instead of Sidney Jones, you could have had Cooper Kupp, third-round pick,
stud.
69th overall. Chris Godwin today for Tampa. I believe he had maybe 10 catches. He was a third-round pick. There were guys, Kenny Golladay, third-round pick, 96th overall. And the Eagles end up with Mac Hollins in the fourth and Shelton Gibson in the fifth round.
That's what I'm talking about.
This is exactly what you have been harping on for weeks and for months. The talent evaluation, man, I Howie Roseman is excellent with the cap. He oftentimes makes very good trades where he gets value. However, when you look at the draft picks and you look at the way some of these have panned out, there leaves a lot to be desired there.
That's why I'm concerned about the future, because they don't have a lot of their own draft picks on this team, offense or defense, and they're getting older and more fragile. And they're going to have to turn that over soon to the younger guys, and they don't have a lot of talent. They really don't.
You cannot.
Defensively.
You can't consistently try and cover up your weaknesses, your deficiencies by going out and making trades and going out and signing free agents.
Once in a while, but you're building your whole team.
You got to hit on some of these draft picks. They haven't drafted a wide receiver with speed since DeSean Jackson. 6'1", well, Jeremy Maclin didn't have DeSean's speed, was selected the year after him, and had a terrific career, short-lived here in Philly until Chip Kelly let him go. 610-632-0975. We're talking about this Eagles loss to the Vikings. I want to get into a little bit before we get out of here, Joe, the Phillies managerial search. So we'll get into that, too, a little bit before we get out of here. 610-632-0975. He's Joe Stazek. I'm Rob Motti. We got open lines, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This is 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti with Joe Stazak, Eagles post game show. 610-632-0975. This weekend's programming is brought to you by the beautiful new sports book at Parks Casino. Visit parkscasino.com/PA to download the Parks Sports Book app. Joe, we were talking before the break about the moves that Howie Roseman, what he's good at in his job is handling the capologist, handling the cap, making some deals, signing some free agents. But where he has come up short is talent evaluation in the draft. And we would look at some of these decisions in the draft and some of the guys that they passed on and some of the guys they took a shot on that haven't panned out. This is why you're looking at a football team right now that is the third oldest in the NFL. And there is actual legitimate concern for the future when you have an older team and you have guys who aren't in position to step in and replace these guys.
Let me just go over a list of the impact guys on this roster right now. The impact guys. And I'll tell you how they were acquired. Carson Wentz, we know. Okay, that was a Howie pick. Tremendous job by Howie. Jason Peters, trade. Andy Reid. Darren Sproles, trade. It was Chip Kelly. Jordan Howard, trade. DeSean Jackson, free agent signing. Alshon Jeffrey, free agent signing. Brandon Brooks, free agent signing. Lane Johnson and Zach Ertz, both Chip Kelly guys. On defense, Fletcher Cox and Andy Reid draft pick in 2012. Malcolm Jenkins, free agent signing. Nigel Bradham, free agent signing. Ronald Darby was a trade. Brandon Graham, first round pick in 2010, was an Andy Reid guy. If you go back to the Super Bowl season and add these impact guys, Nick Foles, free agent signing, LeGarrette Blount, free agent signing, Jay Ajayi, trade, Corey Clement, free agent signing, Chris Long, free agent signing. That's not a lot of homegrown guys.
Yeah, I would give
Derek.
I would give Howie Lane and Zach because he presided over the draft that year, right? That was Chip's first year. Chip got control. So yeah, it's a lot of free agent signings, a lot of trades to fill in. That's where they got to get better at. They have to get better at their talent evaluation. And this is why you look at a team that doesn't have, when you go through these injuries and you're suffering injuries and one position, this is 2 years in a row that the secondary is decimated by injuries. 2 years in a row. You gotta have guys ready to step up and fill those positions. And when you have a second round pick in Sidney Jones and a third round pick in Rasul Douglas from 2017 in their third year, and they get beat the way they did today, and it's not just today. It's been consistent for both of these guys where they have struggled. Now, Rasul Douglas was fair. I wouldn't say he was an incredible performer for most of the season. He was fair. And you look at both of these guys, and they're not performing. Man, that goes back to the drafts. And this is where they're lacking.
They're lacking big time. And again, that's the future. Right now, these guys are going to be gone soon. A lot of these guys are going to be gone. And you got to build your team through the draft, which is basically the bottom line. And then you correct things with free agent signings. And, you might add a piece here or there with trades. But they build their whole team around these guys. And that's going to hurt them in the future. You talk about a window. Okay, here's the window. You got about another year left of this window. And you don't seem to be, you're not playing like world beaters, and soon that's going to be gone, and then you have to have the next guys, the next round of guys. And a lot of teams do it through their draft. They find ways to find guys in the third, fourth round.
Patriots do.
Sony Michel, 29th pick,
yeah.
30th pick, whatever he was. And now they're a running team. Because you're not going to be able to build a team or field a team with your homegrown talent. You can't keep doing this year in and year out. And they're getting old.
You try and cover up mistakes by doing that, and then you're not going to have the flexibility under salary cap.
All right.
You're going to get yourself in trouble. Vince in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, Rob. Good evening. I just tuned in, to be honest with you, because I've been watching all these other sporting events here. But your producer told me, thankfully, not too many people have had the gall to blame Wentz for this loss.
Dylan is right on it. And
I don't think his name really got mentioned.
I think one guy said tonight that the team doesn't have chemistry with Carson, but he wanted to go on about the defense, which rightfully so is the reason why they lost this football game. That defense was the secondary's bad.
And believe me, I like to think I'm a fair-minded person, so I would criticize Wentz if it was his fault. But the thing I find amazing is, he was the only one who actually had a pulse in that game, it seemed. You know,
he actually saw him uncharacteristically slam his helmet at one point. Last time I saw that was the Saints game.
Showed a little emotion.
Last year.
Showed some emotion.
Yeah, usually he's even keel and
he got into it with one of the defenders.
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah. And that should have been a penalty. You're right, Dylan. He got into it with a defender who, after a sack, was just trying. He really put his weight on him and was trying to knock the ball out. That was uncalled for. You could have called a penalty on that.
Sure.
Yeah, and also, I obviously there are things like, you know, you're missing corners and those kinds of things, but I'm just amazed at everything from, like, the inability to adjust defensively. I mean, you know, to me it was so inexcusable that Diggs was left so wide open on so many plays. Yeah. I mean, I just found that mind-blowing, you know, between that and I'm trying to, and again, I know, that was more the Jets game where the officiating was so ridiculous, you know, flag on every play. I was waiting for Tom Brady to check in saying he turned off the game and stuff. But, no, but even if they're, you know, like, again, the dumb penalties, I forget which one, that kept drives alive. And I don't know how you solve that, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not a fan of Jalen Mills either, by the way.
I think Vince,
I'm not a big fan either.
I think, Vince, the problem in the secondary is lack of talent at this point. And
they're so under-talented.
And Jalen Mills coming back, Ronald Darby coming back. There's hope that they're better than what they have right now, although we know there's issues with those guys too as well.
Do you think it's time to finally say goodbye to Sidney Jones and Jason Peters?
Jason Peters is really he's about done. Sidney Jones, this is his make or break year, and right now he's breaking it.
All right, Rob, we'll see. I'll probably get more fallout tomorrow.
No doubt, Vince. All right, man, I appreciate the call. Before we get out of here, Joe, I just real quick wanted to touch on Dusty Baker, Buck Showalter, Joe Girardi are going to be interviewed this week for the Phillies managerial job. I assume and would imagine that there's going to be several more. I think John Middleton and Matt Klintak and Andy McPhail are going to go out there and try. I do think they're going to probably look for a proven veteran guy for this fan base. You can't try and go the Dusty Wathan route, somebody who's never done it before. Although Middleton did drop, hey, you do want to look to uncover the next Craig Counsell, too. Yeah.
You really want to try that right now?
I don't think they're going to do that. I like Dusty Baker. He's 70 years old. He's been a winner. He's got experience with Bryce Harper in Washington a couple years. How you feel about him?
I like Dusty Baker.
More than Buck Showalter?
More than Buck Showalter. Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not sure who. I think I would love, and I think you're right, I think he's going to go to the Mets, but I'd love to see Joe Girardi here.
Yeah,
I want to see a champion, a guy who's won a championship.
The only thing, if the Mets, Carlos Beltran wants that job, if they go with Carlos Beltran, I don't know how they could do that there. If not, I would go Dusty Baker. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but we're out of time, Joe. As always, this is fun, man.
It's been awesome.
Dylan McKinnon, thank you. Fantastic job producing the show.
And we're back next week together.
Yes, we are back next Saturday together. Until then, for Joe Stazak, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Late.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.